on with historian, author, coach, teacher, and former McKinley Grade School center, Mark Motzinger. I thought you'd like that last part, Mark.
Well, actually, it was Horace Mann.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I could swear you and I played ball in McKinley.
We played against each other.
Is that what it was? Yeah, it's all coming back to me now. Mark, joined me this morning. I wanted to try something different. You know, when you and I were going to school, Mark, we had the story about Plymouth Rock, and the foot was first put in here are the Pilgrims. Well,
right.
If we take that analogy and move that to Southern Illinois, who was the first?
Well, a lot of times when you say who was the first, a lot of times what we do is we look at pre-contact and post-contact and prehistory and history. What that basically means is history is when somebody came in and wrote it down. Prehistory is before anybody wrote it down. So, the first people here, of course, were the Native Americans. But the first contact that you're going to have in Illinois, and particularly in Southern Illinois, is going to be in 1673.
What happened in 1673?
Well, in 1673, a small expedition. One was a guy, a trapper, a Coeur de Bois, which is a French traveler, explorer, trapper, named Louis Joliet, and a Jesuit missionary by the name of Jacques Marquette, and in two large canoes, started out in Green Bay. They came to Green Bay, came across Wisconsin on some rivers, connected the Mississippi, and made their way down to what is today Kaskaskia.
So that was the first big settlement, village, colony?
Well, when they got there, at that spot was already a Kaskaskia Indian village. And what they were doing was trying to find out if the Mississippi might connect to the Pacific Ocean. And they found out that it went south, and they were warned that if they went too far south, they'd run into Spanish, which they didn't want to do. So they went on south and got about to the Arkansas River in Arkansas and turned around and came back. And then they stayed at the Kaskaskia Indian village for a while. And while they were there, they were told that they could go up the Illinois River, and if they took a short portage, because there was no connecting to Lake Michigan, which is kind of hard to imagine, if they did a short portage, it was a shortcut, and they could get into Lake Michigan. And so that's what they did. So that was your first European contact that's recorded.
And here's the interesting thing, and Mark and I were talking a time back, and my brain does not want to change. I always think of east to west, Lewis and Clark, Route 13. It doesn't matter which time period. And I'm in Golconda with R.C. Davidson. He's showing me a location there that has not been excavated, by the way, where a general store used to be. And it was robbed at the end of the Civil War. And he and I are standing there, and it suddenly the little light bulb went over my head. Why isn't that cabin and facing the road? Because the road's the river. North and south was the way this was done, not east to west. And I have a hard time kind of coming to grasp with that sometimes.
Well, another thing that's really kind of hard to imagine, that parts of Illinois were settled before some of the original 13 colonies. Like there were towns in Illinois before Georgia had Savannah and some of those towns. So it's kind of hard to imagine a colonial period in Illinois, but there was.
Right, and this find this interesting. It's this north-south thing again. East Coast, they had the rivers, but they had the coast itself. So they come in the Great Lakes and they come down. So there's this area between Illinois and the East Coast that's still literally a wilderness, and colonies are being built here.
That's exactly right. And, the other kind of funny thing about it is eventually when Illinois begins to be settled after the American Revolution, it is actually settled from south to north because people are coming in on the Ohio. So the rivers have been the highways into the settlement of Illinois, and you will find very, very few villages or settlements away from the rivers for the first couple of hundred years of the settlement of Illinois. They're almost all right on a river somewhere.
All right, now let's go back to another junction point, and you talked about pre-contact and post-contact. All right, let's talk about pre-contact. Who was here first? Because we don't know a lot, but we do. What we do know indicates that it was huge. There was a lot of an economy. There was a workforce to build incredible mounds. There was big industry, economy, interaction going on here long before the Europeans. And when I say here, not North America, Southern Illinois.
Well, at one time, in about 1300 AD, there was a town in Illinois that was bigger than London. And London was at the time, not London now, of course. But so, yes, that's true. And what's also interesting is that, you know, we can predate a lot of through archaeological work that Dr. Wagner and Butler and McCorvey and Heather Carey and all them have done over the years, that, you know, it goes back into what we call the archaic period. But then we also have, you know, what's known as the late woodland period, which goes up is, you know, 2000 AD, 2000 BC. And then we have, you know, the middle woodland, late woodland. And the village, most of the mounds that we find up around Cahokia, those are what we call the Mississippian time period, which run about from about 800 to about 1400. But by the time Europeans came into this area, those big villages and big settlements were gone. And we really don't know why.
We don't know where they went. Londoninium, I think, was called London back then. It wasn't even London. That's how long it was, more archaic pronunciation. What I find interesting, and this is something that a kick I got onto while I was preparing for another interview with Mark, and that is I had written kind of Southern Illinois off to being, you know, maybe two, three tribes. Southern Illinois was a really diverse area when it comes to different tribes. I had no idea. When I started going down the list, I lost track pretty quickly, and tribes that I've never heard these names before. I know you know what I'm talking about. Every time you turn around, this was this group, this was this group. They appeared to get along.
Well, there's Illinois, as far as, especially in Southern Illinois, as far as the Indian populations, have had a lot of different changes. By the time the Europeans got here, the area that we would consider, you know, the Route 13 corridor, you know, between Harrisburg and say Murfreesboro and Marion and those areas, there really wasn't anybody here. That was kind of known at, for a long time, was what they called the vacant quarter. It was more or less a place where people came to hunt, and all of the settlements were along the river bottoms where the fertile grounds were, and they could get to the rivers and that type of thing. And there's going to be a lot of changing over the years of different Indian tribes. And what's also interesting about it is, you know, Illinois means is the land of the Illinois, which is
land of superior men.
Yes, and you know that's why it's funny that, you know, they felt like they had to take the name off of it because it was degrading at the University of Illinois. But actually, it means land of superior men. So you know that's not really what I would consider degrading. But they were the main group here, and the main five tribes were the Cahokia, the Kaskaskia, the Mishigamia, the Peoria, and the Tamaroa, and they made up what was known as the Illini, or the Illinois Indians.
You know, it's the discovery process of Southern Illinois was kind of interesting. John Musgrave wrote this book, The History of Gallatin County, which, as Mark will tell you, at one point, all of Southern Illinois was Gallatin County, the whole thing.
Big, huge part. That's
right. And it was. And these settlers are coming, and they come from the east, and they get to the Ohio, and they come across to Shawneetown, which was no small task at the time. You know, dams was lower, but still hard. And in short order, the people from the church in this group write a letter back to their church in the east saying, "You can't save these people. We're coming home as quick as we can." Southern Illinois was a rough place, and when Shawneetown was the doorstep, and you read what that community was like at the time, and people saying, "These people are irredeemable, we're coming home." Southern Illinois was a rough place, and if you don't believe that, John James Audubon has some words for you on that issue, too. Well, tell me about this. I mean, it was a rough place.
Well, a lot of people don't understand exactly why Shawneetown was kind of the doorway into Illinois, and the reason it was is because if you're coming down the Ohio River, And, you know, you're following the current. But if you keep going all the way down to Cairo and make a right and go north, you're going to be going up the current of the Mississippi River. And that was extremely difficult before steamboats. So a getting off place that would cut straight across was Shawneetown. And so people would get off in Shawneetown, and sometimes they'd venture on down a little further to, depending on where they were coming from, to, you know, Cavan Rock, Golconda. But most of the time it was Shawneetown. And they would get off in Shawneetown, and it was known as the, later on it would become known as the Goshen Road or the Shawneetown to Kaskaskia Trail. And they would just cut right across southern Illinois. And they would basically go above the hilly portions, the hill country. They would, and it would go from Shawneetown to about El Dorado, and then cut kind of through around Benton through that area, and then up to Kaskaskia. So that was the entry point.
You know, I referenced John James Audubon there a couple of moments ago in a rough area because he came to what is now Heron. At the time, it was called the Heron Prairie. That's right, Mark?
Yes, there were a lot of different prairies in parts of southern Illinois. And about where your radio station is today was also a prairie.
Right. And so James Sean Audubon, as always, the Audubon Society, birds, he's here doing his thing with birds. And a woman,
you know, he had a home in Henderson.
And a woman invites him during his travels to stay there. Pretty soon her son show up. It's pretty clear that they're going to try to kill him and steal his stuff. I think among them the pocket watch they had an eye on. And I believe he shot and killed both of them and left the woman alone and went about his business. I mean, you think about the Audubon Society, and, well, I'm going to have to kill you now. I mean, it's one of the weirdest stories.
To survive in the environment that John James Audubon was traveling around in back in those days, you had to be self-sufficient. And one of the things I remember the most about John James Audubon was a lot of people realize this. A lot of times he shot the birds and then drew pictures of them.
Right. They wouldn't hold still long enough if he didn't do that. So what do you think the most significant exploration moving through southern Illinois? I mean, you've got Lewis and Clark that, you know, that came down to the, you know, southern tip and, of course, moved west. You have the people whose names are still carried in southern Illinois in cities and counties. I mean, what do you think? Who was the big explorer that when it came to Illinois?
Well, that's really kind of – there's really – and one of the problems that you have in Illinois history is the fact that a lot of it was not, you know, we don't have a central Daniel Boone character or something like that. But what we had was a bunch of characters like Daniel Boone. We had a lot of people that would probably have the same storyline as someone like Daniel Boone. Right. Marion County, Illinois, had a guy by the name of Samuel Young was the first person in Marion County. And he eventually would put a tavern on the Cahokia to Vincennes Trace, and he was the first settler there, and he actually settled next to a group of Native Americans who were just hunting, and he was fleeing the New Madrid earthquake and ended up in that area, and his family's all still up there to this day. The Young Church is there, and as a matter of fact, he's my fifth great grandfather.
Oh, did not know that. Mark Motzinger, author, historian, and high school center. I mention that because Mark and I have known each other for many years, as I've told you in the past. And before I let you go, there's another person that you and I have known almost our entire life. His name was John O'Dell. And when I was thinking about having you on this morning, you know, I think he was trig number two.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. He was, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be speaking at his funeral, his memorial service on Saturday. But he was a mover and shaker. He was a retired superintendent. And the great thing about John O'Dell was when he decided to do something, he did it. And he did it in a big way. The Tecumseh statue that is at Glen O'Jones Lake is him. He was responsible for it. And the River-to-River Trail, it is what it is today because of John O'Dell.
Right. And there's so many other items. We'd be here all day. He was that... Carnival Barker for Southern Illinois Tourism and Resources, and he had been my entire life. He had always been that guy. Well, go ask John. He'll know.
That's right. You know? And, you know, and I can remember there towards the end of his the time period that he would go out hiking. He eventually, you know, he was 87, got to the point where he just really couldn't do that anymore. And he and I would just kind of, I'd meet him at his house, and then he and I'd go out, and he had little things he wanted to show me. And he was real into the ice age in Southern Illinois. So he was always, you know, seeing things and different things that he thought were related to that. So he and I had a lot of good times, and he was just the kind of guy that just enjoyed Southern Illinois. And he had lived all over the place. He'd lived in Alaska. You know, he'd been a superintendent up there, and he still, everything gravitated back to Southern Illinois.
And Southern Illinois Tourism, which he had for years and years, and we are seeing a new life brought there. Mark Motzinger, who was first in Southern Illinois? Well, there was a group, and then there was another group, and there's still more groups moving in when time goes by when you consider it all. Mark Motzinger, author and historian, and my good friend. Mark, thank you so much for your time.
You're more than welcome.